Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. This is Kim Greenhouse. It is critical that you learn about how the honeybees have been mysteriously disappearing across the planet, literally vanishing from their hives. There's something known as colony collapse disorder, a phenomenon that has brought beekeepers into crisis in an industry responsible for producing apples, broccoli, watermelon, onions, cherries, and 100 other fruits and vegetables. There is something going on the planet that deserves your prompt attention, and it is my great pleasure to bring forth the co-producers and directors of a movie called The Vanishing Bees. We are welcoming George Langworthy and Miriam Hanane to It's Rainmaking Time. Both have massive broadcast experience, documentary experience, research experience, and television experience. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome them. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's start off with you, George. You've had longstanding work in documentary, and so have you, Miriam. What brought you to focusing an entire documentary film on the vanishing of the bees? What first alerted you that there was something deadly serious about this?
Well, I found out about the story right as it was breaking, and I thought it was really, you know, interesting kind of mystery about bees just leaving their hive, leaving the queen, leaving their babies. And then as I started to learn more about bees and honeybees and the agriculture industry, I realized it was just a story of massive importance. There are sentinel of the environment and reflect the health of the environment, and they're responsible for pollinating, you know, one out of every three bites of food on our table. And we started the story as a side project, shooting a little bit on the weekends, but eventually Miriam and I felt it was such a vital story that we both left our jobs and devoted ourselves full time and just set out kind of with faith and credit cards to make this film. And eventually, you know, the universe responded with support for us. We got a big grant, and we've gotten a lot of support along the way from individuals donating to us, businesses sponsoring us, and most recently Ellen Page, an Oscar-nominated actress who was the lead in Juno and was recently in Inception, came on board as our narrator.
Wonderful. Miriam, how about you? How did you first find out about this?
Well, like George said, he told me about it. A friend had told him the bees were disappearing, and George told me this, you know, this would make a good documentary. And at the time, I wasn't aware of how precious honeybees are. And my background is an investigative journalist, and I started doing research and realized how profound this story is, and was really moved by the fact that the honeybees are a sister society and that they work together for the greater good. And when I found out that one of the symptoms is that the bees abandon the babies and the queen, I saw that as a parallel to us abandoning Mother Earth, and then the bees literally started appearing in my life, and I just set about this journey, and it's kind of become our life for the past 3+ years.
Why do you think it is, both of you, that most of us don't learn as children the critical nature of bees and how their pollination of fruits and vegetables literally can make or break humanity?
Well, I think it's just an example of any number of things that people aren't informed of. You know, I think we see a lot of children have an inherent fondness for bees, and it's amazing how many people really love honeybees and love honey. Of course, kids love honey, but I have to say that even, you know, I didn't know that they were responsible for all that. They were that crucial to our agriculture system until I started to work on this film.
Yeah, I'd like to just add that, yes, there's so many things that we're not taught as children. There's so many negative programs that we adopt, and you know, yes. So it's just about education.
I wanted to ask you both also what your take is on genetically modified seeds and therefore foods, and if this is impacting bees as well.
Well, our film just touches very briefly on genetically modified foods. Certainly, it's part of the problem and it's part of big agriculture. We know that one of the problems that we hear is that when corn tassels that the bees pollinate, a lot of times there's nothing around and they will pollinate the corn and there will be problems as a consequence. So even though we don't fully explore genetically modified foods, it's really part of the problem. I mean, I just heard yesterday that they're making a Franken salmon. They're starting to make genetically modified salmon. So it's just part of, like, you know, this system of mass production and under the guise that we have to feed the world. And what we're doing is we're messing with nature and playing God.
Actually, the genetically modified seeds have been going on for a long time. You're right. It is big agriculture. And do you know that they've actually filed patents on animals, like pigs? There's now genetically modified pigs. They have the molecular right to own pigs. It's really profound.
You know, they may own honeybees. They've figured out the genome. And I've been kind of kidding around that they'll create a genetically modified honeybee, and then you'll have to go to whoever to buy your bee from, and it'll be kind of a disposable honeybee, because the way the agricultural government has responded, it doesn't seem like they care as to the extent that they should about the disappearing honeybees. And we explore the very real possibility that this country will just be producing corn, soy, and that we'll be importing our fruits and vegetables from other countries.
A lot of people talk about going to Trader Joe's and how they love it, but if you start to look at the fruit and vegetable section, it starts to get a little nerve-wracking when you find out that most of the fruit and vegetables are from other countries. It's really alarming.
That's true. That's a huge issue, and something that people really we want to be aware of is that, you know, this is a matter of food security, and the whole point is that, you know, the way that big agriculture is working, they just want to grow corn, soy, and wheat, and cotton, and have these massive monocultures and kind of control those markets with genetically modified products. And then fruits and vegetables get tossed aside, you know, in the kind of big ag mentality, and parlayed out to these, you know, countries like Mexico, China,
Brazil,
South America, Chile, yeah. And it's really something that I think, regardless of someone's political orientation, whether they're a conservative Republican or a liberal, that they'd be interested and concerned that the U.S. be able to grow its own food. I mean, we're, you know, such an advanced country, and it's almost like we're going backwards on that front. And it does very much tie into the genetically modified food issue, and Miriam and I gave that a lot of consideration, and I'm just going to respond to that quickly because it is a very, very prominent issue, but really kind of deserving of a film on its own.
Yes, exactly. I think so.
So we had about 10 different films worth of material, and we tried to stay focused on the bees as our guideline, but we're very concerned about genetically modified foods. And the one thing that we have in our film that is reflective of both the policies, you know, of the U.S. government and the governments in Europe, don't allow, a lot of countries don't allow genetically modified crops. In Germany,
France,
countries,
right? France as well.
Yeah, and the government is able certainly to take measures to stop this from happening, and here they just simply do not. They're more in line with the business side of things rather than the safety of the health of the people.
How did you shoot this film? What kind of camera did you shoot it in?
We used a Sony high-definition video camera that shoots on tape. It's called a Z1U, and it's what they call a prosumer, which is kind of that blend between professional and consumer camera. And then I also shot some of the slow-motion footage of the bees on a small Casio digital still camera that shoots slow motion.
Isn't that wonderful how you can just go right into producing a documentary film today and you don't have to spend $25,000 or $50,000 or more on a camera?
Yes, it is.
It really is. It was, you know, it's very inspiring that people can, get such beautiful, you know, footage without this insane costs.
How is the film doing? Where is it showing? And I noticed you have a wonderful model you're using to get the word out with people showing it and screening it. Talk about that.
Yeah, thanks. We finished the U.S. version in June, the one that's narrated by Ellen Page, and we've launched our Be the Change campaign. We launched it on August 21st, which is National Honeybee Day, and we're really encouraging this grassroots movement, which is, honoring of the honeybee and working together in community. So what people do is, if they're a concerned citizen or a beekeeper or a permaculture group or a gardening group or a women's alliance, or they would rent the film. They get a licensing fee from us for a very fair price, and then they put together an event. So we encourage people to have like a bee-inspired meal, to host a panel after the event, to really bring together a community, show the film, and they can raise money, they charge admission, raise money, keep the profits. The Be the Change campaign really encourages community and will raise awareness for the person's group and mission as well as funds. And at the same, like, we use the film as a tool, a platform to raise awareness, and it's people around the world are showing the film, and we've just started, and we're encouraging people to watch our movie and be the change that they want to see.
Have you thought of taking this right into the White House or into Congress? I think it would be very helpful to send it to every congressman and woman and every senator. What do you think about that?
Yeah, excuse me. I think that's an excellent idea. We feature Michelle Obama in the film, and the fact that she's started an organic garden, and we're just starting our outreach. We're a very small hive. It's George and I predominantly, and we definitely want to do that. I think that's an excellent idea.
I think your hive should get together with Greenhouse. And perhaps you could send your film to the head of agriculture that Obama appointed, who's the former lawyer for Monsanto.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be a good idea, too. Maybe the human element of this and what really happens could be spread out. I think it would be very helpful. So let's say somebody in Los Angeles or Beverly Hills wants to host a screening. And so we rent a space, we license the film or buy it for how much, or how does it work?
If it's a home screening, you show it in your home and invite up to 20 people, and that's $29.95. If you're going to have a screening of 100 people or less and not charge admission, you would pay $100. If you're going to charge admission and it's 100 people or less, the licensing fee is $150. If you're going to have anything above 100 people, then we would tabulate the screening fee. So it really depends. You can have a small screening or a big screening, and partner up, find a sponsor, really create a shindig. You know, have a silent auction. There's all, you know, it's endless. But it's all about community and raising awareness, because a lot of people, just like we didn't know, don't know the importance of the honeybee. And then even if they do, you know, we stress to be the change. Really, there's sacrifices that need to happen in order for change to occur, and it's often not easy. But you know, like we're all in the kind of like 9-to-5 rat race, and people will go to Trader Joe's, and you have to make an effort. You know, like I'm not going to contribute to, you know, buying food that's imported from Puerto Rico. You have to make a conscious effort to eat organic, to eat local organic. It takes effort, but it does make an impact.
Definitely. I went into a new market called Sprouts about a month ago, and I asked them, do you have genetically modified food, and can you show me so I'm not buying genetically modified food? They said, what is it? They had no idea, but they did have at least an organic section. What you're saying is so true, to buy organic, to be the change. I notice you also talk about bee-friendly gardening on your website at vanishingbees.com. Talk about that.
Well, one of the great, I mean, it's interesting because you were talking about bringing the film to the attention of the government, and one of the things we like to encourage people in is that we don't have to wait for the government to make these changes, that
exactly
power to make a difference in their own lives. And certainly planting gardens, home gardening, you can grow, fruits and vegetables of your own, save money. It's an incredibly beautiful hobby. It's good for your health just to be outdoors, and it beautifies the land and also, you know, provides food for bees and all other pollinators, butterflies and hummingbirds or any kind of other, you know, pollinators that are out there. And they're all kind of, we focus on bees, but hummingbirds and bats and monarch butterflies and all these other pollinators are all in jeopardy. And another little piece just on the home screenings, one of the wonderful things about it is that instead of just going to sit in a movie theater with a bunch of anonymous strangers, you know, these are people who are concerned, and these home screenings and event screenings, this grassroots screenings, brings people together in a way that connects them and can allow people to discuss making a difference and doing something in their community.
I think that's the most important thing. And by the fact that they're arriving, they're expressing a mutual concern. And there's a receptivity to learn, which I think is critical. One is to acknowledge that there may be something amiss and then put yourself in a position to receive new information. I love that about the model also. And then for people to be involved that are connected to what's happening and are honoring their connection. I also wanted to clarify that the reason I talked about bringing it to government wasn't so much because I felt the government would do anything one way or the other, but rather I felt that it was critical to hold the government accountable for having the knowledge and not being able to say, we didn't have the knowledge. Well, we have the knowledge and we're still going ahead with whatever we're doing. So it's more to transfer the accountability and to potentiate doing something about it, but not necessarily waiting. But I really appreciate your model.
I wanted to bring something up that I recently showed the film in Montreal to a couple of people, and after the film, one person was very distraught and really didn't think on a small scale it would make any difference. And I encouraged him and that all we can do is take care of ourselves and our immediate community. We can't have these control issues and question the bigger scheme of whatever is happening in the universe. But we can make a difference in our lives, and that does count, and change occurs one step at a time, and that even though the honeybee population is collapsing, our monetary system is collapsing, all these different, you know, archaic systems are collapsing, who is to say that that's not a good thing? And unfortunately, most of us humans change when a calamity occurs in our lives or there's a natural disaster. And, you know, we can choose to change through joy or through pain. And hopefully people won't wait till they get cancer or have an autistic child or a parent that has Alzheimer's, that even though there aren't these direct deaths, these systemic pesticides are killing us, you know, slowly and silently, and it's very insidious. And even though, like, people can't see that it's poisonous or dangerous right on the spot, that it truly is. So hopefully we can realize that we can make a difference, and we don't have to wait till it's too late.
I liked also what you both talked about, that this change can happen one person at a time, and not to go into overwhelm with the large condition of what's happening, but to start with where you are, to be exactly where you are and start the change with who you are, and not worry about having dominion over everything or control over anything else. And I think that's very empowering for people.
Absolutely, because part of the situation is that it all seems very overwhelming, and kind of rightfully so. But little by little, people can really make a difference. You know, one of our main calls to action is just to vote with your fork and buy organic. Even in my own life, I've, you know, always been aware of that. And now I really am, because it makes such a huge impact and drives the marketplace, you know, and can really create change. Even now, you know, we're in Los Angeles, so it's a little bit different than some other cities, but even the normal grocery stores here have organic sections now. I was just in Reno, Nevada at some random grocery store, and they had a whole organic section. And this isn't Whole Foods. This was, you know, just an ordinary grocery store. So you can see that it is happening, and, you know, Walmart has organic food now. And
that's amazing.
You know, and this is not because they're concerned about the environment. They're just driven by what the consumers do. So
right.
We're really optimistic about people being able to make a difference, and there's a number of ways that they can do that.
What you're talking about with regard to optimism is very critical, particularly what you said, Miriam, about all these systems that are breaking down before us simultaneously. It is a great challenge to stay in the mode of optimism no matter what is happening in the natural looks like and how things appear, that the dawn of greater potential is happening.
We believe that education is the first step toward change, and we really don't want this film to be preaching to the choir. We want people to realize that that's the thing, right? Everyone is so busy in their world, and like, they're so driven, like, by fear or, like, greed or, like, and they're, like, in this system, this, where you're trying to catch up, or you're in the rat race, and, like, to really realize, where does our food come from? Why do I do the things I do? These are programs, and I don't have to operate out of fear. I can operate out of gratitude, and I can make a difference. And the food that we eat, people underestimate how crucial it is, this food that we're eating, the energy we're putting into our body. And it does definitely have profound effects on our well-being.
It's a really strong point. I think that a lot of these people that are having psychological, emotional difficulty could really find a lot of help in their diet. Taking out sugar, you know, wheat is such a massive problem for so many people. That's just this unknown factor that they have no idea, making them tired or depressed. And as Miriam said, our first step is raising awareness. And there's a lot of, you know, people aren't really doing this stuff on purpose. I think that a lot of people just don't know.
Yeah.
How do you think Europe is responding? Has your film been out in Europe? I know you filmed in Europe. Has it been released in Europe yet?
Our film was released in the UK in 2009. It's a slightly different version. It's not narrated by Ellen Page. It's a little bit longer and more UK-centric. And it did really well in England and in all of the United Kingdom. And we're working with an international distributor. We've recently gotten interest from Denmark and from Al Jazeera. And it's just starting. We're having screenings in different parts. And yeah, so this film will be definitely shown in France and Germany. And we've just started our kind of outreach campaign, and the buzz will spread.
I'm so delighted, and I really look forward to seeing the film, and I have a feeling I'm going to want to host a screening.
That would be great. We have your address to send you a copy.
That would be lovely, yes.
Can you send me that?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I'm in the Los Angeles area as well, and very much look forward to meeting you both. And along with GMO and water, it's one of the most important issues of our time. Because it really starts where we are, right, in our day-to-day. And food is it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It is it.
So I really want to thank you, Miriam and George, for being my guests on It's Rainmaking Time. Thank you for the work that you're doing in the world that's manifesting as your documentary films, and for alerting people to a condition and then reminding us all that we can be the change we want to see right here, right now, that we don't have to wait on governments. We don't have to wait on other countries, that we have it right here. And I think combined with what you're doing, that message is so critical. God bless you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
God bless you too.
Thank you for being on the show. It's Rainmaking Time.